It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. You know, I've been thinking, giving a lot of thought to something over the last few days. You know, we're all throughout our lives, we're specifically trained for certain things, for certain skill sets. And if you think about your own life, you tend to gravitate towards things that you're good at and things that you like to do. And you like to do them because you're good at them. There's a real connection between those two things. I've told many of you that I'm not a handyman. And my wife's always coming around asking me to do handyman things. I just look at her. I said, why would you ask me to do that? Call Carl. Why would you? Honey, I don't fix things. Okay. It ain't my gift. It's not in my wheelhouse. Please don't do that to me. I just get frustrated. Call Steve Deck. He can fix it. Call Mark Trump. He can fix it. Don't ask me. Put that screw in there. Don't ask me to do that. I can't do that, okay? I don't know how to find the stud. I don't know what a stud finder is. I wouldn't know how to use it if I had one. Why? Because we're all gifted in different ways. One of the things that we don't give people grace over is we don't appreciate their gifts. We don't recognize their gifts, and we want them sometimes to operate outside their gifts. And some of you are very, very frustrated because someone is trying to get you to operate outside your gift. And some of you don't want to do what you have to do because you know that is not your gift. Say, what are you talking about, Coach? I'm just telling you the truth. That a lot of us are frustrated because we don't know what to do. How about this? Play your role. You say, well, Coach, I don't know what my role is. Well, there you go. There you go. I get our football guys lined up in front of us for a football game, and I point to number 82. I say, what position do you play? He say, tight end. What position do you play, number 61? I'm a guard. What position do you play, number 50? I'm a center. What position do you play, number 28? I'm a defensive back. What position do you play, number 12? I'm a quarterback. I pointed at them. They knew their job. And I could run right down here through the 84 people that are in this queue right now and point at you, and most of you couldn't tell me what your job is. You don't have to say amen, even though I'm hammering it, okay? That's our problem. And I get in trouble. I guess I'm less frustrated because I know my job. I'm not afraid to say, sorry, can't do that. That's Gary's job. Call Gary Pierce. Gary will handle that. I don't do that. Huh? Coach, when are we going? Coach, what's going to happen when we get there? I don't call Polly. I don't do that. You folks, you understand what I'm saying? And it causes great, great, great frustration because we have a tendency to be forced to operate outside our giftings. It's tough. God's gifted all of us in many, many different ways. And sadly, Bob Evans. I'm going to call Bob Evans if I need something fixed. Hey, Bob, I need my light fixed. One of the lights is out, Bob. One of the lights is out on the cross. He knows that. I ain't going to go fix it. I don't have to go fix it. I'm going to call somebody who knows how to do it. I got a leaky pipe. My wife says, honey, that pipe's still leaking. Why are you saying that to me? Hey, I don't fix pipes, okay? That's not what I do. Stop asking me. You with me? You with me? Oh, man. I hesitate to talk about what I want to talk about. Well, let me go around the bend here real quick. I don't know if Mike Heath's in here with us. I just want to, Mike, if you're in here, Polly can, Mike had a little bit of a breakthrough yesterday. He got to meet with a Republican, some Republican party or group of Republican. By the way, I'll never be a Republican again. Never. I'll never be one again. Mike, do you have any good report up there about what's going on up in Maine? I know they hate you. Anything? I don't even know. He's probably asleep. He ought to be asleep. He drove all night. Okay, let me get this work done, then I'll get on with it. Hey, go to CoachDaveLive.social if you still don't know how to do that. That thing's not only go there, but populate it so we can make it attractive and people will come there and say, Coach, I tried to go there and I couldn't get in. It's because you have to be invited. Somebody has to invite you. CoachDaveLive.com. coachdavelive.social. Coachdavelive.social. There, it's up on the screen. That a baby, Spencer. And we can post stories. It's our own little thing. And so if you want to get on coachdavelive.social, send me an email. Say, Coach, I want to join. I want to join, and then I'll send you a password or whatever, and then you'll be able to get in there and join. Yeah, come on. It's our own little thing. Get in there, populate it a little bit, okay? Second thing, please go sign up on the emails. I spoke to Gary Pierce yesterday, and Gary does a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff for me, administrative stuff, and Gary's working on getting all – people still want to have – they want to have boot camps or huddles, and they still don't know everybody in their area. So look, go right now on the – thank you, Spencer. Right on the screen you're looking at right now, email sign up. Just go there and click on that thing. Do it right now. I'll stop talking while you do it. It's very simple. We're not going to bombard you with emails. Name, address, email, and then you answer just three questions. You want to receive coaches' updates, participate in local meetings, organize a huddle. That's all you got to do. And then put it on there. Then you're on the list. Then we find out who all's in Wisconsin and who all's in Oklahoma and who all's in Nebraska. So that when people call and say, hey, is there anybody up here in Minnesota? I say, well, sure, here it is. Here's four people. Here's five. And so you would really help us if you could do that, okay? Appreciate it. And I'm going to Iowa on February 7th. Denny Bryan's having an Iowa huddle up there, seeing how we're not in lockdown. February 7th, that's a Sunday afternoon. I think it's 2:00. All my Iowa friends up there, come and join us. And there it is. I think I've covered it all. Unless somebody has something they'd rather bring up. Anybody? Go to the group.
Hey, Coach, well, is it okay to not like your job?
It's all, yes. Yes, very, very, yeah, yes. In fact, Jack,
I hate my job.
As you understand, there are aspects of every job you don't like, right? I got to wonder, do you think John the Baptist liked his job? Huh?
He probably didn't like the locusts.
He probably didn't like the locusts. That's great.
He liked the crawdads.
He didn't like the crawdads. Listen, there are aspects of my job that like somebody asked, somebody told me a long time ago, how do you eat a crap sandwich? Anybody know how you eat a crap sandwich? One bite at a time, right?
One bite.
One bite at a time. So there's certain things about all of our jobs that aren't going to be really, really good. And that's the aspect. One of my jobs is to try to help you figure out what your job is. That's really what I'd like to try to be able to do. A lot going on. Hey, Tyrell wants to know what my name is on Gab. Tyrell, I think it's Coach Dave Live. I'm telling you, I don't remember ever setting it up. I don't know who did. It's populated. It's 2 years old and it's populated. But I used every email I know of, and I'm not able to get into it. I want to cover something here that it's kind of sensitive, although it doesn't. I don't really care. I don't really care. There are a lot of. I don't say this in a. I say this for us, not to criticize. Okay. A lot of prophets with egg on their face today. A lot of prophets with egg on their face. And can I tell you why that is? My opinion only. I'm not a theologian nor a son of one. I didn't go to seminary school, but I can read and I can think. And I'm connected to the Holy Spirit. Folks, hear me, is not a fortune teller, not a future teller. That's not a prophet. Sorry. That may be aspects of it. And there may be aspects of the prophetic that do involve speak about things to come. No doubt about that. I'd never bought into the idea of a prophet putting his hands on me and telling me what he sees in front of me. I never ever bought into that. I didn't. I trust the Lord. But see, the prophetic gift, in my opinion, the prophetic gift is one who speaks for God. Who speaks for God. Who speaks the oracles of God for God. Not a fortune future teller. Now, part of the prophetic gift may include future events. I love Mark Taylor. I love Mark Taylor. Please, I hope nobody takes this as criticism of Mark Taylor. Because I don't. Or the Dana Coverstone. I love those guys. I'm not trying to be critical at all of what I'm not. But I I think we get in trouble when we begin to speak specifically about things that the Lord told us is going to happen. Hey, Polly, I'm not. Yeah, okay. Dana Coverson said, get ready for persecution. I can say that. Larry said that because Larry's speaking in the prophetic. Speaking in the prophetic. But when you begin to waver off and say, the Lord has told me that Donald Trump will appoint 5 more Supreme Court justices, I think we got to be careful. I just think we have to be careful. And sometimes, I'm talking about me, we allow our gift to get ahead of us. Can somebody say amen? You know what I'm talking about? We let our gift get way out ahead of us sometimes.
Amen.
And God bless Mark Taylor. And I'm sure he's gonna hear from people. You know, he said that Trump is gonna get 4 more years. And by the way, he still could. He still could. Donald Trump still could get 4 more years, and Mark Taylor would be right. And Dana Coverstone would be right. They could be right. But right now it doesn't appear that they are, does it? Doesn't. And only time will tell whether the prophet was right. Now, we're not at the end of this game. So, as I said, all of those who are speaking prophetically, future telling, that's dangerous business. But let me prophesy to you right now. If you don't turn from your wicked ways, you will suffer an eternity apart from Christ. That's prophetic. Okay? That's prophetic. That's speaking for the Lord about what's going to happen if things don't change. That's a prophetic. That's the voice of that's the prophet warning the consequences of your behavior. Everybody with me? Okay, make on that? And so we have to be really, see, a guy like Mark Taylor, and again, I like Mark Taylor. I'm not criticizing him. But Dana Coverstone, people check in with him every day. What do you see today, Dana? What do you see today, Mark? Well, they don't know any more than I know. What do you mean? What do you see? Here's what I see. Here's what I think. Here's what maybe. I think Donald Trump will get, I see Donald Trump getting 4 more years, unless they cheat. I see Donald Trump appointing 5 more Supreme Court justices, unless he's not president, right? So there's always, am I being nice enough here? You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I think what you just said equates to look at your horoscope every day.
Yeah, in a funny sort of way. We have to be careful, Jason. I love all of you. I love all those guys. Mark Taylor laid it on the table, man. So did Dana Coverstone. I love those guys. I think we have to be careful. We have to be careful with taking as truth the words of guys we don't. You know what I'm saying? Cool. We all good there? Anybody going? I don't see any hands up. Or are there hands up here? I don't see hands up. Anybody want to
come? Hey, Dave.
Yes.
All right. One of the things is we have to be patient. Dude, yes. Got to let things play out. We want instant results. We're spoiled because we're used to having, you know, up to the date analysis. Today, well, you know, blah blah blah. Okay, we're getting information. It's not what we want to hear, though.
Amen. Chad, let me give you another great example, and I think maybe I've told some of you this. When I went to become the football coach at London High School in 1989, the scripture says that where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, perish doesn't mean die. Perish means to run around without any direction. Where there's no vision, you run around, just like a stallion with his unbridled, just runs around the field where there's no vision. In other words, if you don't know what you're – if you don't have your eye on the job, you're not going to get the job done, right? So, excuse me. So when we went to London, they hadn't been very good. And our first year, we went 3-7. I thought, boy, we need to change the attitude here. As soon as the season was over, I went down to the industrial arts guy, and I had him make me a sign. And on the sign, it said Massillon, 167 miles. Massillon, 167 miles. And I hung it up in the locker room. The players would come in and they'd say, Coach, what does that mean? Massillon, 167 miles. I said, well, boys, that's where the state championships is. That's where we're going. Massillon's 167 miles. And they'd smile because they got it, right? I created a vision. Now, my vision, my belief from the Lord, was we were going to go play for the state championship in Massillon. We got close. We never made it. We got close. We were one step away from it. And then the ACLU mess hit London. Excuse me. And we got, we left. We left London. I'm going to tell you something. If I was still coaching at London, we'd have been to Massillon. Yeah, guys, you guys understand what I'm saying? There are things that come in that interfere with the journey that you're on. So when you set your eyes on a vision and a place that you're going to go, you're going to have to whack your way there, baby. There are going to be all kinds of obstacles that are going to try to keep you from getting there. And the vision of the Lord for you might be to go do this. But, hey, I said to somebody the other day about me. Sorry I'm talking so much about me. I can't believe I'm doing what I'm doing now. I did me doing this. Are you kidding me? I was a little Catholic boy, went in and lied during confession. Huh? And here I am, right? Right? Because it's the very steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in your way. And he orders, see, the steps of a righteous man are ordered. Ordered means sequential. 1, 2, 3, 4. Ordered means everything's done properly in the right time in the right way. Ordered means it's already laid out for you, like you order a pizza. It's waiting on you when you get there. And our very steps of a righteous man have been ordered by the Lord. But sometimes we get off the path by our own choosing and our own disobedience. And we can't blame the Lord for that. The Lord, someday we may be sitting before the Lord and he may set us down and say, look, hey, look where you went. Here's where I wanted you to go. Look where you went. And here's your steps all ordered for you right out here. And so I love Psalm 37:23. Been my life verse, actually, that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. If we allow the Lord to order our steps, there aren't any mistakes. There aren't any. You don't get off the trail. You don't get off the track. If we obey the word of the Lord, right? Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. When you are going the way of the Lord, it's delightful. So I'm delighted. I'm full of delight today. And I appreciate all the guys who told us Trump was going to be in there for 10 more years or 20 more years or soon he was going to own America, whatever. But there are a lot of things that influence it. And I still believe, along with Mark Taylor and along with Dana Coverstone, I still believe that Donald Trump will be president of the United States. I still believe that. Look not at things that can be seen, because things that can be seen. We're going to win this game, even though it looks like we're behind. Going to win the game. Nobody got anything to say, just me. It's just me. Got 100. Looked up, there's 100 of us in here today.
Yeah.
There's a path, folks. There's a path.
Remember, hang on, Jack.
We go down.
Oh, go ahead, Jack. Jack, then Joe. I'm sorry. Go, Jack. I'm sorry.
Okay, there is a pathway. Whether we go down it or not is up to God.
Amen. Oh, there I see the hands. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. It is up to God, but it's up to our obedience. Our obedience. See, God's in control of everything, but he doesn't control everything. He gives you the ability to make choices, free will. He said, here's where I'd like you to go. This is where I'd like you to go. And then you're going to get cut off over here. And then he's got to go down and cut trees and move stones and get you back on the path that you were supposed to be on. That's the way I read it. Okay, now I can see people want to get in there. Silver, you're up, then Timothy, Salazar, then Clay. Go ahead, Silver.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Coach, one of the dangerous things about being a prophet is that if you're wrong, you're not a prophet. And if you prophesy in the wrong way, such as to mislead people or that kind of thing, it could cost you your life, like it did Hananiah.
Right.
Okay. Jeremiah said, this year you will die for doing what you did. And he did. He did die. And Jeremiah was a prophet. Hananiah was not. So we have to really, any kind of prophecy that we ever get, we have to take it to the Lord to verify it.
Amen. And, amen. Amen.
And we can't just follow blindly everybody that's out there.
Amen. You will be, Randy. You will be. I see you being president of the United States, Randy. I just say, yeah. Yeah, come on. We have to be careful with it. Timothy, come on in.
Yeah, Coach. I was wondering, you know, when God gives a prophet a word and he speaks it, it's the thing that the Lord wants. It don't always happen because it's up to the individual, like you said, obedience, to line themselves up with that word, you know? And, and certain things can change, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, the people wanted Saul as the king. That wasn't so much what the Lord wanted, but he gave the people what they wanted. And, you know, when a prophet speaks into a person's life and says, look, I see you to be a mighty man of God, you know, and that's what the Lord would have that person be. But that don't always mean that that person's going to be that, because if he don't align, you know, we all have will. So I just wanted to throw that out, too. There's a lot of circumstances of how, you know, egg in the face could look. You know, it could be that other person's fault, too, you know.
That's right. There's a lot of reasons why. By the way, prophecy is a gift. And I want you to know this. The four greatest prophecies that I ever received in my life. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
I received from common people. Amen. Just someone who walked up to me and said, Coach, I don't know what this means to you, but here's what the Lord showed me. I can name four of them right now. Hey, Steve Deck, you ready for this one? When my little four-year-old grandson climbed up on top of the chair and put his hands on my head and said, the Lord will open doors and you will walk through them. That was a prophetic utterance out of a young guy, young kid who didn't even know what he was saying. And it was the words of the Lord to me. And it didn't come from some highfalutin prophet. You folks all with me? Y'all with me on this? We got to be careful. Who else? Clay. Come on in, Clay.
Morning. Good morning, everybody.
Hey, bud.
I was telling my wife last night before we laid our heads down, I said, you know, this is going to tell us right here, either everything was a lie and it's all over and our country is in really bad shape, or else there's something still going on. But, you know, but here's the thing. This is going to tell us where we stand. Here shortly, we'll know whether or not there was a real plan and a cue,
yep,
and all this kind of stuff. And there was, you know, they say that 1.2 million people went to D.C. Well, there might have been three times that many there if they hadn't been believing that there was a plan and cue and all this stuff and all the prophecies. So here shortly, if Q doesn't play out and all the prophecies don't play out and everything else, and our country is truly in this dire straight situation, then everybody's going to wake up even further, and we're going to push back harder and harder and harder. So this is, amen, at least it's going to tell us where we stay.
That's what I'm not discouraged at all. I'm not discouraged. Come on in, Dale. Then Paul.
Well, Dale, then Paul. The favorite for the show, so I will. You know the old cliche, if you repeat a lie often enough, you'll believe the lie. So therefore, I must continue to proclaim truth. Here it is. If a man breaks online, which is a very common thing these days, and he steals the deed to your house, does he now become the homeowner? Just because the courts won't hear it. If somebody steals your car and the courts refuse to hear it, does he now become the owner of your car? If somebody breaks into the hospital when you just had a baby and he steals that baby out of the hospital, which has happened, does that person now become the parent of that child? How about a year from now, does that person become the parent of your child? How about 3 years from now, does that person become the parent of your child? Therefore, I refuse to keep repeating that kind of stuff, because the fact of the matter is that Donald Trump did win this election and the fraud proves it. I respected Barack Obama as my president. I respected Bill Clinton as my president. But brother, this guy's no more the president than a man breaking into the bank, stealing the money and declaring him the president of the bank.
Oh, man. Dale, so let me listen. Somebody remind me of this, because I want to come back to this subject. I had a call from Alan Zeifer yesterday, and Alan made a good point. Or should we? Oh, I'm going to lay it out there. Then we'll come back. Okay. Should we? The Bible says to pray for those who are in authority over us. Should we pray for Joe Biden? Is he in rightful authority over us? Absolutely. Come on in. Come on in, Paul Webb. Come on in. Paul Webb's in, and then Gina's in, and then Myers.
Yeah, well, Coach, I'm just thinking, what if Donald Trump was called by the Lord, whether he knew it or not, to expose the corruption to the American people, but maybe we weren't ready to do what it took to correct it?
And maybe yes, Paul, maybe those of us who were supposed to come, maybe the pastors were supposed to come alongside of them, and they didn't do it, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of when you get into the prophetic, and it involves other people making that vision happen, boy, it gets kind of dicey. Gina, come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I'm not a transgender. I'm on my wife's computer.
Okay.
Sorry, I suppose Gina, but my name is Gary Dalkey.
Okay, Gary.
I've been watching you for a long time, but I finally joined. Did you know that Biden did not get a presidential governmental plane to fly him to Washington yesterday? He was denied.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what was said, and it's on. You can Google it and see whatever. But anyway, I thought it was very encouraging.
Well, I think, again, as we're all saying, this game ain't over. It isn't going to end like we think it's going to end. And we'll know soon, right? We just, like you just said, we'll know soon where we are with it, for sure. Welcome. Gary or Jerry?
It's Jerry.
Jerry with a J. Jerry.
Yes, sir. And my wife works for Pregnancy Lifeline here in Missouri, and she's saving babies.
Awesome, Jerry. Awesome. You give her a pat on the back.
I'm a referee, so you talk about both of us all the time. I'm a referee.
All right, man. You get it then, don't you? Bless
you. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Myra, come on in, then Randy.
Yes. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. How are you?
Great.
Trump is still my president because he won the election legally. Yes, so I want to read Romans 8:25, King James Version. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we, with patience, wait for it.
Amen. We got to wait on it, huh? After you've done the will of God, you got to wait. We got to wait. Don't lose heart. Bless you. Come on, Randy.
Coach, I want to make this point. All through the Bible, we know there was false apostles, false prophets, false evangelists, false teachers, and false apostles. Okay, we know that today. They all get to shook out as time goes on. But, Coach, the fact of the matter is we need true apostles, true prophets, true evangelists, true pastors, and true teachers. Because what do? They equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. We need that. So, Coach, it's our responsibility. As if we'll pray and seek God, we can judge who's on which side.
Amen. And
that's what we do. Every time I hear someone, a prophet speak, I judge that. And then I go, well, I don't know if I go with that. I'm going to put that on the shelf.
I test the prophets. I test it. That's right.
Exactly. So I think that's all we need to do. I don't think we need to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think we just need to use judgment, good, righteous judgment, and we can know what to follow and when to discard the fake.
Amen. I'm with you, Randy.
Faith's always going to be here.
Amen, brother. Larry, come on in, followed by Bobby and Rochelle. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, reference judging the prophet. Bible tells us to learn to discern good from evil. And if we do that first, then that prophet will never, the false prophets will never fake us out again. What I want to say is, before I go any further, is there somebody in the group, and I just saw it a second ago, called Unknown. Now, Mr. Unknown, I don't know if you're trying to be funny or if you're ashamed of yourself, but I hope if you're a spy, I hope you receive the just rewards of what spies get.
Just give us your name, Unknown. Just let us know who you are. We're
There's
all friends.
Two of them today. Two of them.
We're all friends. Let us know who you are. Bobby, come on in.
Yeah, the National Guard turned their back on Biden as he
I saw that.
Out. Yeah. So what we have like the strong man holding the bat in authority and intimidation, and the numbers of people are standing there really hating the strong man and moving really slow and kind of reluctantly doing what they're told. How the long video, is
the video shown right now of the National Guardsmen turning their back on Mr. Biden when he drove by? Go ahead, Bobby.
Yeah. So how long is this going to last? I mean, if the crap really hits the fan or a serious thing needs to be done, he's already been neutered by severe lack of respect right. by the military and everybody. So the strong man is just standing there with really no authority.
Amen. That's right. He doesn't have any authority because, as Dale said, that's not his child. He stole that child. That's not his child. And I'm going to tell you this. Listen, I'm not trying to be hard line. Listen, he's not president of the United States, folks. He's okay. Hang on just a second. Rochelle, I told you just a second. Rochelle, you go ahead and speak while I'm pulling something up here. Hey, pull up Spencer, proof of fraud. Pull that up for me. Go ahead, Rochelle.
Good morning, Coach and team. I just wanted to make a quick point about, it's been pretty easy for us. I mean, you know what I mean? Overall, with Trump in, it's been pretty easy. Maybe not this past year, but so now, look, I thought that the entire country voted for Obama that second time. I thought Hillary was going to win. You know, I thought that this country was really going down faster than it is. I mean, it's going down, but it's not going down as fast as I thought. This showed us how many people are have the same like-mindedness as us.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And this thing, that's what's happening. I know people have probably been quiet because maybe of Q or religion or whatnot. But, you know, when I was like 10, I had a bike stolen and my parents wouldn't replace it. And I had to work for that to buy myself a new bike. Uh-huh. And I took care of that bike. I locked it up. It was much more valuable when I had to work for it. Everybody now is going to have to be invested in this country if they want it to survive.
Amen.
It could be a good thing.
I got something good coming up there. Hang in there with me. Okay, so here on the screen, that is a good word. That is a very good word. Here's Jovan Pulitzer is one of these election geeks, statistical geeks. And folks, this is absolute proof that Joe Biden didn't win. See, this isn't speculation. This isn't sour grapes. This isn't sucking on our thumb. This is, as Dale would say, this is DNA proof that baby belongs to Dale. It doesn't belong to somebody else. This is DNA proof that the presidency belongs to Donald Trump, not to Joe Biden. I'm not sour grapes. I'm not sucking on my thumb. And see, Mark Taylor and those guys would say, well, see, he did win, but it was stolen from him. So I get it. Mark Taylor, you were right. And Coverstone, you were right. But you didn't tell us that it's going to be stolen, right? Okay, so scroll on down here. I'm not going to take a lot of time on this, but just scroll on down through there. And it shows you exactly. I'm not going to take, again, you want to see this, we'll put it in the chat. This is absolute electric science. What would they call this? Computer science? What kind of science? This is absolute proof that Donald Trump is president of the United States. Absolute proof. Not an opinion. This is scientific proof that the election was rigged. So, like Rochelle just said, what do we do? Do we just go ahead and let somebody else hang on to our baby? Is that what we're supposed to do when we know it's our baby? When the Bible says to pray for those in authority, does that mean rightful authority? Any kind of authority, right? So there's a lot to play out here yet, and I don't think the genie's going to go back into the bottle. I just don't think it is. So maybe Spencer, you can stick that in the chat because people want to see. It's a really, really good article. He says it's. Thank you. It's actual proof that the cheating took place. Mark Trump, come on in, Mark.
Yeah, I was going to say, we for all the people coming online and whatnot, it's just a lot of information. So faith is things we don't see. And regardless, we've gotten tons of good instruction, Coach. And when I met you, there was a man on stage talking about the Revelation 12 sign.
Right.
And what that meant. And after it, when things didn't, quote, happen, he was blamed.
Right.
He was
right.
So he's had to live through that, right? So
right.
Whenever back to you talking about prophecy, whenever we're looking at these things, all right, faith is the substance of things unseen. Don't avoid the things that are seen. I've been telling Judy, where's the evidence of all these things? It's come from a group of men we don't know. Mm-hmm. So what's the evidence of the faith that's unseen? Whereas you can't avoid what is seen. 17 executive orders were passed. Mandatory masks is part of it. Opening the borders, reinstating DACA, line by line by line, everything Trump did is undone yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So things that are seen are going to be what we're up against. We're going to go through a period. Did no one know how bad the flood would be? But he built the ark. I mean, I don't know how to say it. We have to look at what's seen too, you know?
Amen. That's right. We can't ignore what we see. It says, look not at things that can be seen. Doesn't mean don't look at them. It doesn't, they say, make that your focus of what you can see, because the things you can see are temporary. They're all subject to change. He didn't say don't ignore what you see. That's not what that scripture means. Don't ignore it, but don't put your whole faith and trust in what you see, because the leaves are going to fall off the tree. That may be a beautiful tree right now, but those leaves are falling off. Don't put your trust in the beauty of that tree, right? We all get that. Good word, Mark. Good word. Bobby, did I not get let you back in? I'm sorry, Bob. And then Dale. Bobby, no, Dale. Go ahead, Dale. Or did you just not?
No, I'm here, Coach. You know, I just go back to that, you know, listening to Rochelle's story about the bike. And I get that. And you went and worked, and you worked hard, and you got a new bike. But if you ever came across the person who stole the bike, does he become the owner of the bike, or is he the thief of your bike? And so we have to be careful, because we as Christians, we're getting cornered in that we must identify him who he is. I say, well, I call him the thief in the White House, not the chief in the White House. And we just need to be careful about this, Coach, because this is an infallible act. Not only, and this is true, people steal babies out of hospitals, they kidnap children, and they reconstruct a new Social Security number for them and everything. It never makes them the parent. I'm just saying that because of the thievery of this election, Joe Biden can never be my president because of that very fact. Now, if he'd have won it, he'd have won it. I'd have honored that. But we know the DNA says otherwise. Therefore, that's right. I must keep repeating truth. He is the thief in the White House, not the chief in the White House.
Amen. Go ahead, Silver. Then Clay. Then Kim.
I was going to capitalize on what Mark was saying and clarify a little bit. You know, Noah didn't know exactly what he was doing, but God knew the dimensions.
Amen.
And he followed God.
Amen.
Obedience. Back to obedience.
That's
amen.
It.
Amen. Kimberly, then Clay.
We just have to be very careful right now, because they've just showed us that we don't vote in order to get you can take by force what you want, and we have, it's not going to be fair. Everything, if they can do it with an election, then what else are they going to do it to? We don't care what you think and what you want. I mean, that's socialism.
That's right.
More Marxism. We just have to be very careful what this insinuates.
So praise the Lord, Kimberly. It's all been exposed to us now. None of us should ever again trust our elections. We can't trust our elections. We know that now, right? We've suspected it, but now we know it. Come on
in,
Clay.
It's not just elections, though. That's what I'm saying. Is this is just going to be symptomatic of everything else.
I agree. Couldn't agree more. Go ahead.
When they say, I was just going to say, follow up on Dale's comment, render to Joe Biden what is Joe Biden's.
Amen, Biden.
And so my thing is, to the president, if people say, well, you got to show respect to the office, well, that's fine. The president, the office of the president is sitting vacant right now. Yeah. And we got somebody that's a fake president trying to take their place. And if we're going to render to Joe Biden, what is Joe Biden's? He don't have anything, Coach.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. Good word. Larry, then Kimberly again. Larry? No. Yes.
Coach, I
Larry, you're muted.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt real quick, but did Jesus, when he saw that coin, what did he say? He said, whose inscription is on here? He never recognized the person on the inscription on the coin. The people did. Jesus didn't recognize
him. That's right. He said, give it. If you think it belongs to Caesar, give it to him. He didn't say that's Caesar's. He said, if you think it's his, give it to him. Right? If you think it's his. Go ahead, Larry.
I think you're absolutely right that the way things are now, we can never trust an election again. We've got two choices. We can just keep going the way things are now and not trust in elections and muddle around in a stormy sea, or we can start taking steps to make it where we can trust elections again. We've got a choice to make. We can either accept what we've got, or we can start trying to redo and rebuild what we're supposed to have.
I'm with you. Bobby Lee, come on in, then I'm going to shift gears. Go ahead, Bob.
Talk about respect to the office. How can we respect anything that was doing what we just saw? But they also, Biden just appointed this transgender Pennsylvania freak to office. How are we supposed to have any respect at all for that?
Okay, Bobby. Thank you for the lead in, Bobby. Thank you for the lead in. Pull up, where is it? Fake salt. Pull up fake salt. I wrote this morning. I think it applies. And I'm going to ask you this question. I'm going to ask you this. Lord, do I have to say that? Okay, I'll say that, Lord. Okay. I'm going to tell you this. Some of you, listen, you better not trust your pastor. I'm sorry. He's not giving you all the information, folks.
Amen.
He's not giving you all the information. He's holding some stuff back on you. Sorry.
Dave.
Sorry. Not all pastors. But if your pastor is silent from the... If your pastor is silent from the pulpit about what's taking place in our national election, you better be careful. What else is he silent about? Yeah, Jack.
The analogy of the Caesar's coin. We're so far down the rabbit trail that we think that the Joe Biden executive orders and even the Trump executive orders and even go back to the Bush executive orders are law.
They're not law. Not anymore.
Can't make law. Joe Biden can't make law. Your governor can't make law.
They're not laws. They're not laws, Jack. Go ahead, Chad. Go ahead, Chad.
There was, if you didn't know this, 7,000 pastors were brought in to teach them how to influence their congregations to take the vaccine.
Yeah.
7,000.
Okay, Chad, there you go. There you go. Okay, so folks, here's my commentary today, and I wasn't going to read it because you guys get tired of hearing me talking anyway. In fact, I thought maybe I'd have Silver read it. Maybe it'd be better if Silver read it rather than me. Because I'll just start screaming and yelling in the middle of it, and that takes me longer to get through it. Would you mind doing that, Joe?
You will anyway.
I don't mind, but Coach has to mute himself.
Oh, I can't do that.
Scream behind the microphone. Here we go. From Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. Good for nothing. What a phrase that is. Can there be anything more demeaning than to be told that you are worthless, good for nothing, ready for the dung pile? Webster's defines worthless as, quote, having no value, as a worthless garment, a worthless ship, having no value of character or no virtue, unquote. Those were the words of Jesus when he was speaking to his followers, believers in his name, those to whom he was about to turn over the keys of the kingdom, his kingdom, the one he was about to lay down his life to in advance. The followers of Jesus who lose their saltiness and worth and are worthless to the king. Harsh words, not very loving, you might say, but truthful. Pavement, sidewalk material, dung. That is what Jesus called unfaithful Christians. Don't get mad at me. I'm just the messenger boy doing my best to pass the salt. Savor. That word means more than simply taste. Salt impacts every aspect of what it touches. When you put salt on a steak, you don't say, gee, that salt tastes meaty. It's the opposite. The steak tastes salty. Salt changes everything it encounters. Salt turns ice into water. Salt causes one to thirst. Salt heals. Ever hear of pouring salt into a wound? Salt is a preservative. It stops rot. Salt kills slugs.
Wow, that's a good one.
But salt stings. Salt is not sugar. Jesus did not say we were the sugar of the earth. He said we were salt. Why have Christians been taught to be sugar? The Bible, especially the book of Acts, is full of men who choose to be salt over sugar. It cost them their lives. Heck, it cost Jesus his life. They did not crucify Jesus because he went around telling people what they wanted to hear. He was not a man pleaser. He was a truth speaker. Truth often sounds like hate, especially to those who hate the truth. Looking for a man to model yourself after? Jesus provided us an example, a personal recommendation. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. John the Baptist was salty, not sweet as molasses. He called the king's wife a slut. It cost him his head. John saw Jesus as truth, not merely as love. In fact, speaking the truth is love. Jesus is the very embodiment of truth. The greatest man ever born unto a woman, quote unquote, was a guy who spoke truth to power. Let all that sink in as you cower in the corner, wearing your mask, obeying a law that is no law at all. From Proverbs 13:4, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Not love, not tolerance, or diversity, or acceptance, friendship evangelism. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Righteousness is the business of the church. Exalt, to elevate in power, wealth, rank, or dignity. Whose job is it to elevate a land to righteousness? Christ's people, the salty ones, the good-for-nothing ones who have traded salt for sugar. The church preaches love, sugar, while Jesus admonished us to speak truth, salt. No wonder America is in the mess we are in. The salt has become sugar and has made the church non-essential in a dying world. Look around. The world is the salt of the church, while the church is the sugar of the world. From Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Are there righteous men in authority in America? Joe Biden, Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, Charles Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Mitt Romney, Adam Schiff? How did they get in positions of authority? Christians voted them in. Fake Christians, fake salt. From Psalm 12:8, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. There's that word again, exalted. Vile men, the scripture calls them. We have chosen vile men as our leaders. Webster described vile as extreme wickedness. Can you say swamp. Surveys say that 20% of evangelical Christians voted for a man who was for the killing of innocent babies, the destruction of traditional marriage, the appointment of perverts into high office. 53% of Catholics joined them in throwing the salt under the foot of man. Okay, my Christian friends, Trump wasn't personally holy enough for you. You kept your mouth shut because you didn't want to upset any of your sugary friends. You wanted to go along to get along. After all, the hireling in your pulpit told you that religion and politics don't mix. Get your head out of the clouds. Vile men are ruling in this nation, and the wicked are walking on every side.
Amen.
Do not blame Donald Trump. Look in the mirror. Lack of salt is the residue of cowardice. Some of your friends voted for a baby butcher, and you didn't open your mouth and peep. You did not want to offend or lose friendships. John the Baptist lost his head. Evidently, he was not particularly good at the love message. The war has begun. We have met the enemy, and it is us. We Christians, afraid to offend, appeasing, good for nothing. Shame on Christians. Shame on pastors. Silence isn't golden. It is yellow. Fake news is not America's problem. Saltless Christianity has rotted America. Good for nothing. Treasonous to our king. Fake salt.
Couldn't have read it any better myself, Joe. So that's it, see. We're at a crossroads. We are at a crossroads. Think about how, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. Think how many of you held back your opinion because you didn't want to make waves, right? What was it Patrick Henry said? I believe in like, give me liberty or give me death. I believe he said, if I were to hold back my thoughts at this time, I would be, he would be treasonous to the king that he serves, the king above all kings. If I were to hold back my opinion at this time, you could find that in the declaration, in the Patrick Henry's give me liberty or give me death speech. So everything that we see going on around us, folks, has had, can you believe that 56% of Catholics voted for Joe Biden? 56%. What the hell are they teaching in the Catholic Church? But hang on. 20% of Christians did. 20% of Christians voted for a guy who's going to murder babies, elevate transgenders to high office, and just do everything he can to force homosexuality on your children. The most vile, vile, vile men in high places, and evil is walking on every side. And why is it walking on every side? Because the church has lost its savior. We're into friendship evangelism. Welcome everybody in. Jesus loves everybody. How's that working for us, huh? Come on in, Chad. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. I was just going to, the 56% of the Catholics that voted, you know, for Joe Biden, yeah, and some of those were even alive.
That'd be enough of that. I'm in a serious mode.
Serious mood.
Come on, Alan Zeifer, come on in.
Coach, I need to find out where John the Baptist prayed for King Herod. I need to find out where Jehu prayed for Ahab and Jezebel. I need to find where Elijah prayed for Ahab and Jezebel.
Amen.
I need to find where Micaiah prayed for Ahab and Jezebel.
Where David prayed for Goliath.
Come on. I need to find where Jesus said to pray for the Nicolaitans. I only can find where Jesus commanded the Nicolaitans to repent. I can't find where he prayed for them. I find where he commanded them. And if Joe, all these preachers, Dr. Tony Evans, you can just name them off, T.D. Jakes, Jensen Franklin, every stripe, every color, every creed, they're all calling us to pray for our new leaders. I'm commanding them to repent in the name of Jesus. I'm not praying for them. I'm Amen. Commanding them to repent.
Amen.
They're a bunch of Nicolaitans. They're a bunch of baby killers. They're a bunch of sodomites and they're a bunch of devils. And I'm
amen.
Not praying.
Amen, brother. Amen, brother.
Amen.
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 Amen, Coach. Amen. You know what? They're going to keep on killing those babies. They're going to keep on doing that pedophilia stuff until we rise up and do what we're supposed to do. It's amen. Our time now to collectively unify and go forward. We cannot be weighted down any longer yeah. with this debauchery and corrupt government. It's
you mean, Reb, you, mean, you don't think the Republicans are going to do it, Reb? Is that what you're telling me? Huh?
No, and you know I want to say H-E double hockey sticks, no.
You're allowed to say it here. You're allowed to say that here.
Yeah, let me put some scripture to that.
And the one thing I did, I moped around a little bit. You know, I was praying and fasting probably like everybody else was. But I started listening to different news sources and stuff, just trying to, you know, fill myself with hope in them too. Like everybody wanted Trump in, yeah. But he did win. Those prophets said that he would get that term. He got it. Now, let's make that happen if we can. How can we help him now? But more than that, we still have a job because we belong to the kingdom of the Most High God.
Amen.
What is our first calling? To pull down them strongholds. We can't let them go on and steal them bicycles and babies and everything else and claim them like they're theirs. I hunted down the person that stole my bicycle and got it back.
Hey, let me put some scripture to what Alan said about praying for the evil people in our positions of authority in our country now. Jesus and his prayer that he prayed to the Father, which is recorded in John chapter 17, he specifically told our Father God that he did not pray for the world. Now, if Jesus does not pray for the world, who the hell am I to think I should be better than him and pray for the world? My prayer is God's will.
Amen. Matt Tice, come on in, Matt. Good to see you, bud. Well, I don't see you, I don't think. Come on
hey,
in.
Just one thought here. As far as prayer goes, and I agree with Larry 100% on what he just said. But maybe we ought to pray that God has just one of these people that knows about the cheating of these machines and that to step forward and admit it and bring it out in the open.
Amen.
If we could pray that God would inspire one of those people to come forward, might be a big deal.
Amen. Let me throw this out here real quick. This happened to me yesterday. I was coming home. My wife and I, I'm 68. My wife's 65, I think. We're old people now, right? So my wife and I, we just went for a drive yesterday. Well, it's old people drive, you know. When you get older, you'll get it, right? So Michelle and I are driving down the road, just kind of looking around, and a text message went off. I looked down the text message, and it was a friend of mine. I guess he's a friend of mine, detective, Columbus Police Department. Can we talk? I thought, uh-oh, here we go. Sure. So he gives me a call and go through the call, and here's what I want you. Here's where we are in America, friends. They were calling because they had received an anonymous tip that I had been at the Capitol. I said, you have Facebook? You have Facebook? He says, yeah. I said, it ain't anonymous. I was at the Capitol, right? But I said, let me ask you something. You actually take anonymous tips seriously? You actually do that? I said, maybe I ought to call in and say, Governor DeWine, I want to give you a tip. Governor DeWine's a pedophile. Will they go investigating to see if he's a pedophile? Will they go do that? The hell you mean you're calling me based off an anonymous tip? Anonymous tip. It's where we are, right? It's where we are. Folks, remember this. The righteous are as bold as lions. Why is all the boldness on the other side? Can somebody explain that to me? Why is all of the boldness on the other side? Come on in, Kimberly.
You should have told them you want to file an anonymous tip that the election was stolen and you have a lot of proof of it.
You know what I told them, Kimberly? I said 35 of us signed public sworn affidavits that Hillary Clinton had violated the law, felony violations. I bet she didn't get one call from anybody. I bet she didn't, right?
Nope.
Why? Because when the wickedest men are exalted, when the vilest of men are exalted, the wicked walk on every side. The salt has lost his savor, and look around at what we see going on. Hey, listen, I know about you boys and girls. I ain't begun to fight. I'm just getting started. God bless you. See you tomorrow.